Bill Gates dropped $100, he would lose more money going back to pick it up than he would just letting it go. Another thing that I recently learned as well too is hire slow and fire fast. So you're done. You know, when we're done, we're done.
They have like a 30 or 60 or 90 day contract, a temporary contract before we hire them permanently, just to make sure that they get along with us, they're showing up and doing what they're supposed to do. So yeah, it's kind of like a temporary like trial period. Welcome to
The Beauty Boss Confidential.
My name is Ren and I'm a beauty blogger, new mom, makeup artist, and owner of my own makeup academy in Atlanta, Georgia.
My name is Nalani and I'm a cosmetic tattoo artist and instructor. I run a busy permanent makeup studio and academy in Atlanta as well, and also manage a small team.
We're two modern women
trying to juggle it all,
from building our empire
to being a wife
and navigating being a new mom,
all while making time for ourselves.
We're here to share with you the behind the scenes
of what it's really like to run a successful beauty business,
from marketing to business strategies
and trying to find that perfect work-life balance.
Let's dive right in.
Hey guys, it's Nalani and Ren back with another episode. And today I want to cover how to know when to hire or contract out, and also what to look for when you hire. So right now I have two junior artists, and I talked about in a past episode where I wasn't into managing a team because it was more of a control thing. And I'm so glad I did now, because let's be honest, like I was so busy. I knew I was busy. I knew I needed help, but the control side of me wouldn't allow me to seek help, because in the past I was always like, I got this. I'm not tired. I can do this. It'll be all right. But then I realized that I didn't really want to be booked out 6 months. I was booked out 6 months and I was just like, I don't even know if I'm going to be alive in 6 months. And I hate to say that in a negative way, but hey, you really don't know, right? So I really didn't want to be booked out 6 months. And when I talked to P about it, he was just like, you need to hire some people to help with your overflow. And I was just like, I don't really want to. He was just like, just try it. So we made the decision to hire two junior artists on a part-time basis to kind of help with the overflow, to give options to, one, people that didn't want to wait on me, and two, existing clients that wanted to go ahead and get their touch up. So it has been working out really well. And I personally like trained them and worked with them behind the scenes. So that made me feel better about quote unquote, making sure I trust them with my existing clients. Because when you have people coming back to you year to year, you kind of have a relationship with them, and it's kind of like your baby, you know. It's like you don't want to just give that up. So since the junior artists have proven themselves to me time and time again, and I watch their interaction and their personality and things like that, like it's so much easier for me now, and I can live this like more balanced life that I've been longing for so long. So in summary, one of the reasons why I knew I was ready to hire was I'm too busy and I can't keep up. And the next reason is how you know when to hire is when you dread doing the task. So for instance, I was dreading confirming appointments. I was dreading client communication, because after working 10, 12 hours a day, the last thing you want to do is get on your phone. I honestly kind of dread Instagram as well. And I'm leaning into the direction of actually maybe outsourcing myself. But again, the control thing won't allow me to do that, but maybe one day it will happen. So I dread answering emails. And ever since P came on board, he handles all of that, because his goal was for me just to show up as an artist. And ever since I made that decision of letting go, I've been a lot happier. So that's another reason why I knew when I should hire. Ren, in your business, do you have any team members that are part of the team?
Yeah, I ended up hiring a marketing manager. So prior to that, it had been an in-house thing. Ebony and I would split doing ads, social media promotions. In my business at the makeup school, the reason why we decided to hire out was because something we discovered that we had been doing before just wasn't work anymore, and it wasn't in our skill set. So we actually hired a marketing manager to manage our sales, the ads, the promotions, customer relations. Prior to that, we had been doing all the marketing on our own, and it was working great. But we mentioned this before, there was a huge shift in advertising, especially on Facebook and Instagram. The algorithm completely changed. So a lot of small businesses who had been doing marketing and ads on their own, it just wasn't working anymore. And we noticed a huge shift in sales because that was where we got primarily our client base. So we ended up first going to an agency and hiring out, but it didn't work out for a couple of reasons. And what we ended up doing was hiring somebody who worked for us. So they are actually in the business as staff. And we felt that because they're part of the team and they actually understand the ins and outs of the business, and it's not just like a hired out role, it ended up working out better. And our marketing manager is amazing. She does a lot of the things that we just don't have the time or energy to do. She does a lot of follow-up, which is something that we just weren't that great with. So all those little things combined with her really up-to-date social media and marketing knowledge, which she continues, she takes updated courses on the regular. It just wasn't something that we were, that was our skill set. So we were able to focus on what we were doing, which was managing the business, teaching the classes, and she was able to do the marketing. And we've noticed a huge uptick in sales as a result.
Yeah, that's a great point. If you don't like to do something, it's just honestly better to find someone that enjoys it and that's going to do it better than you. I realize that I will be leading into this direction where you don't want to hire someone that's like a newbie. For instance, okay, I wanted to hire my niece for social media. And I was like, she's always on social media. I'm like, she would really be great for the beauty district Instagram. And P was just like, you really want to do that? Don't you want to find an expert to do it? Because just think about it. If you hire her, she doesn't have experience. She's probably not that into it. You're probably going to spend a lot of time training her, which will take time away from what you really want to do. And she might not do a great job. I was like, yeah, you're right. Let me think about it some more. So I feel like when you do hire somebody for tasks like that, they need to do it better than you. So that way you can trust them and you don't have to like micromanage them as much. So when we do get to that point, that's what I'm going to look for. I actually heard it on a podcast. So I was like, that's a great point. You know, find someone that enjoys the task, that wants to do, that can do it better than you, and that want to do it better than you. And that's like your best hire.
Yeah, no, we actually went with our marketing position. We put an ad out on Indeed because we wanted to track a pool of applicants who, you know, were diverse and had different skill sets. So we had a very rigid process where they had to submit a portfolio. We created a sample like marketing questionnaire and had them submit like examples of what they would put for a campaign given like a marketing proposal. And then we had in-person interviews. So yeah, we definitely want someone who was really experienced and hungry. So the person we chose is a real go-getter, and she doesn't actually have to be really managed because she can do it on her own. We just have weekly touch points with her just to kind of approve any new initiatives and kind of touch base. But it's great to hire someone who is definitely better at it than you and who has self-drive, especially if you're a small business and you have little capacity to add extra management where you don't have time to do it.
I think you do a good job with like outsourcing. For us, we haven't really outsourced yet, but I am not opposed to it. Somewhere down the line that will happen. But as of now, like our our junior artist. I feel pretty happy with our choice so far. And when you need help, you just don't deny it. Like your stress level is so much more important than trying to do everything yourself and overextending yourself, which will lead into stress, burnout, not being balanced, not being happy. So another kind of thing I want to mention as well on more of a lifestyle basis is I am so for people to make my life easier. For instance, someone cleaning the house. At one point, I felt bad in the beginning stages of like hiring someone to clean the house because I was on the laptop and they were cleaning for like 4 hours or so. And I was just like, well, damn, I feel kind of bad. So before, like when people that come to clean the house, I would kind of prep. I don't know if you did this, Ren, but I would I would kind of prep the house to where it's not like completely like chaotic. You know, I was just like, oh, I don't want to think that I'm a slob and blah, blah, blah. And I would feel kind of bad, like, damn, should I kind of help move things, you know, because it was new to me. You know, we growing up, we didn't have that, you know, so it was new to me. And I was just like, kind of feeling bad just watching them clean. But I realized this a little later that I'm just like, wow, I got a lot done during those 4 hours that they were cleaning. Imagine if, and there was two people, imagine if I spent my only day off cleaning the house and it would take me double the work and I would spend 8 hours probably cleaning the house versus me not cleaning the house and working on something for the business and being more productive that way. Like, to me, that's worth it. Honestly, that 4 hours that I got spending on the computer versus cleaning the house, to me, that's worth it because it's going towards something that will support the business and then in turn support our life. You know, I heard this quote. They said, if Bill Gates dropped $100, he would lose more money going back to pick it up than he would just letting it go. So, dang. Yeah, it took me a long time. Like, if your time is more valuable than that task, then it's just better to outsource. And I'm not going to lie, one of my goals is to have a chef. Because cooking and cleaning, you know, it's a lot of work and it's all day. And frankly, I don't enjoy it. I feel like I was like, man, wouldn't it be cool to like come home and just have dinner prepared for us? Fresh, you know, fresh dinner. I've done the meal prep already, which took so long. It took me all day as well. I don't like doing that. And, you know, I don't want to order takeout all the time because I don't know what's in it. And plus, I don't want to do that HelloFresh. I haven't tried it. Don't get me wrong. But I feel like if your time is more valuable than doing that one task, go ahead and outsource to make your life easier. Like I see no, and you don't have to be like a multimillionaire to get to that point. I just feel like whatever you see value in, we definitely aren't multimillionaires, you know, but it's like whatever you see value in, like I would hire somebody to relieve me so I can sleep. Honestly, I feel like my sleep is important. My rest is important. Like whatever it is you value, I feel like it's worth it to spend that extra money. So that way you can be more productive towards your business.
Yeah, I totally agree. I remember back in the day, my mom, whenever she would visit, I don't know how other moms are, but she would always clean my place, even though I had pre-cleaned when she came. And she just told me one day, she was like, you just need to get a maid because you're just too busy. And I was like, oh, okay. And I think because part of that, I thought it was being spoiled, getting that service done. Like I didn't want to be lazy. But I was like, you know what? You're right. I don't have time to do all this extra cleaning that she was doing. Like she was literally getting in there, like cleaning the stove underneath the, you know, the burner stuff. And she was like cleaning the floorboards. And I was like, it's worth it. It ends up being worth it for certain things. And I loved having a clean house like all the time. So I definitely relate on that one. There is one point I want to bring up about, another reason for hiring out. So in my business, it's a little bit different because you work with your husband where I work with a separate business partner. One of the things that we decided to outsource, hire out was an accountant. I actually was doing the accounting in the beginning of our business relationship because I have a business background and I was doing the spreadsheets and everything. But it actually got to the point where I think my business partner was asking me a lot of questions. So I thought it was actually worth outsourcing something in order to be completely transparent within our business, with our financials. And it ended up being like one of those things that's worth it because you have peace of mind and you have someone who is an expert in their field and completely impartial. So we were just, we made sure that we hired someone that we both trusted, a professional CPA, and she's been doing our taxes like for at least 2 to 3 years now, as well as our monthly profit and loss statements. And it's been a really, really great resource, not just for the transparency, but also with all this COVID stuff and the applying for different SBA assistance, things like that. It's been a great resource. So I definitely wanted to point that out.
Let me ask you this, Ren, like, do you set aside a budget for outsourcing? Or, because I know that when you start outsourcing, you're just like, ooh, it's going to cost how much? You know, how do you get yourself over that hump of like, is it worth it? Or, and do you set a budget every year for that?
Yeah. So basically, you know, like I mentioned before, we do have a profit and loss monthly report. So you build in the cost of everything, you know, you track your utilities, you track your sales, your expenses. So we also include a category for contractors, and then the accountant is in there. So it doesn't make sense to hire someone if reaching your profit goals. So don't just wildly hire people if you don't know what your bottom line is and what you need to cover your base expenses and to pay yourself. So that's a good point. Like, you have to be responsible with it. Just like how, yes, I'm going to hire somebody to clean my house, but I'm not going to hire a live-in maid. You know what I'm saying?
I definitely want to look into that further because as I have gotten older, I'm looking to just like not trying to have too many responsibilities, honestly. But yeah, that's definitely something we want to look into in the future. Another thing when you do hire, I want to talk about is what do I look for? What do we look for when we hire somebody? So the things that we look for is more characteristic traits, like work ethics. Are they trustworthy? How's their personality? Are they honest? Can we trust them when we're gone? Or are they going to be loyal? So those are the main things that we look for. And when you initially think about what to look for when you hire is most of the time skill, right? So in our industry, I feel like skill can be taught, honestly. And the main things that can't be taught is work ethics. So I would much rather hire someone that has a good personality that will, you know, give me good vibes, that can, that I know I could trust and be a mediocre artist because I can always work with them versus someone that's like a great artist from the start, but they might be a little awkward or they might not get along well with others, or you just kind of get a vibe. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, so if I feel like they're a great artist, but their personality isn't quite what I'm looking for, like I wouldn't do it. Because like I said, skill can be taught. People can always improve on this skill, but their character is their character. So I would much take a higher risk on skill versus who they are as a person.
No, that is so true. And I want to point out that even though I make it seem like, oh, we are killing it and we have this person and that person that we hired, I want to tell you about all the people that we hired that failed. There were actually many people and we learned from that experience. And like, I remember we hired a girl to do our marketing before. And she was like very like ambitious and she talked a great talk, but like looking back at it now, her vibe did not match ours. Like she was just way too high strung and she ended up being very selfish and she didn't even last like the 3 month probation period that we had set for her, because she wasn't being a team player. And you hear about it all the time in the beauty industry. Like even if you're like a makeup artist on set, the department head will hire people who they can get along with and who are team players, because you're stuck with these people all the time. You know, like work is a lot. Like you're with that person all the time. You need someone who's going to be able to make work enjoyable and not cause extra problems. So I totally get it with like the personality. You're interviewing them for how they fit into your company culture, you know, and how they contribute to the piece on the team. That's so important. And I actually, when I have makeup assistants, like when I do freelance, I look at that too. I look at their personality, because I'm not going to hire someone that honestly gets on my nerves. Like it will make my job more difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And another thing, when it comes to like a skill industry, one of the things I think that's important is that it's one thing for somebody to want to do something, but there are people who just want to do the minimum. And that's something I don't want either. Like, I need someone to be not only like follow the rules, not only do I want someone that just like do what I tell them to, I don't want that too. I want someone to be like, hey, I'm struggling with this. Can you help me with this? Or this is one thing that I feel like I can't quite get. Can you, you know, I want someone to be proactive and ask me for help too, because I don't want to just give you the ingredient and give you the recipe. Like, I'm all for people trying. Maybe you can teach me something too. So I need someone who want to get better as well and just not be stuck and just do it, do the bare minimum. I don't want that too. I want what we look for are like go-getters who are always like looking to increase their skill. And, you know, if they have that attitude, then you can only improve from there. You can only get better. But if they're just like always stagnant and not just doing the minimum, you know, there are some people who just like clock in and clock out. I'm like, no, I need you to be proud of what you do. I need you to display your work, because if you do, you're proud of the work that you just did. You know, it's a very passionate industry, and I need someone to just take their artistry to the next level as well. And hopefully, you know, sometimes with us being in the beauty industry, I feel like there are some people that do the bare minimum. There are, which it should be a passionate industry. But have you ever come across anybody or seen an example that they're just kind of doing it just to do it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that a lot of, and again, this is my stereotyping, but some of the younger generation, I think that they're used to kind of being spoon-fed. And I need a go-getter. There are some young people who are go-getters. I need someone who's going to not rely on me to do everything either. So yeah, you have to show initiative. You know, I'm a kind of makeup artist who goes the extra mile. So I don't just do makeup. I provide an excellent customer service experience. I do follow up. You know, I make sure that it's above and beyond. And I expect that from another artist, because that's what sets you apart in the industry. We don't do any, there's no mediocrity. You know what I mean? And that's why we're successful, is because we push to the next level. And I think that those people end up not lasting. The people who just kind of, maybe they're not super passionate about it. They're just doing it because it's really trendy to be in the beauty industry, and like everybody's doing it and it looks super glamorous. But when you realize that it's actually a lot of hard work and that's really messy behind the scenes, that's what kind of weeds people out.
Yeah. It takes a certain personality to just like, you know, there's a difference with just working at MAC. Like, I worked at MAC for many years, being someone who clocks in and clocks out. But when you run your own business, like, it's a whole nother beast. It's a whole nother stress level that people can't see. And we don't really talk about it, me and P, but there's so many late night conversations that him and I have, and we go at it all the time about like what policies and verbiage we want to roll out. And for us, it's like what you see on the internet or what you see on text or anything like that, that's hours of deliberation. That's hours of late night conversation. So it's like, when you work for yourself, you have to like roll those. What you see is like many hours that we put in, and it's not quite so simple.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, another thing that I recently learned as well too is hire slow and fire fast. So, one of the reasons why, when it comes to like artistry and bringing people into our home, because I call our studio our home because we're there all the time, is we're really, I personally, I'm not against it, but I really like to get people's recommendation when I bring people over, because you know, there's a lot of things and a lot of people that you have to source through if you do put a post. Like right now we are looking for someone to an independent contractor that's going to be in the empty room that we have, because our esthetician just had a baby and she's not coming back. So, but I've been really slow with trying to find somebody because it needs to be a good vibe. Like I'm all about vibe and energy, and I choose not to, you know, post on Instagram. Not saying I wouldn't, but right now I got to go with my gut and I want to go with recommendations, because you get so many people who's just like wanting to ride the tail of your success or not really have the same goals in mind. And we really, like I said, like who, when you decide to bring someone on, like you need to interview them. And also I want them to interview us. Like, are we a good fit for you? Do we have the same goals? So that's another thing that I want to say is like, take your time with hiring. Like it's, you do not want someone to come be a revolving door, have a high turnover, because you're letting somebody in your space. They're going to be exposed to like your business strategies, your inventory, you know, your, you, and we're not there all the time as well. So we need for anybody that steps foot in that door that we can trust and that we can just give the code to, because the worst thing for you is to one, take a vacation and always worried about the studio, or not even want to take a vacation because you're worried about this person. Like that's not how you want to live your life. Like it's not worth it. So hire slow and fire fast is one of the biggest things. Fortunately, I mean, we haven't had a lot of hires, but fortunately we haven't had to fire anybody. But, you know, when it comes to things that we don't play around with, like definitely like you're done, you know, when we're done, we're done.
I mean, I have had to fire people. So I will say that what really helped us, and I mentioned it before, was having a trial period. So it kind of gives you an easy out. And if they don't meet your expectations, bye. And it's like part of the contract. So it's really important to not commit to someone, I think, without testing them out first.
Yeah, like a working interview?
Yeah, it's like they have to, like in the offer letter, it will be like, okay, you have to, this is your list of tasks. You're like, if you're an instructor, you have to shadow the course. Because we do have some like substitute teachers that we independently contract, but they have like a 30 or 36 or 90 day contract, a temporary contract before we hire them permanently, just to make sure that they get along with us, they're showing up and doing what they're supposed to do. So yeah, it's kind of like a temporary like trial period.
That's a good idea. That's a really good idea. All right. Well, definitely we will have more episodes like this as well as we evolve as people and as companies. So thank you again, guys. We hope that this helped you guys kind of streamline whether or not you need to hire people and what to look for when you decide to hire people part of your team. So thanks again for tuning in on another episode of the Beauty Boss Confidential. Stay cute and confident.
Thanks for joining us on the Beauty Boss Confidential.
If you love this episode, go ahead and screen record your favorite part and tag us on Instagram. I'm Nalani at BeautyBot.
And I'm Ren at Makeup by RenRen.
We would love to hear from you.
Don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you'll never miss an episode. And please give us a 5-star rating and tell all your beauty bosses.
Thanks again for tuning in.
And we'll catch you next time.